I'm available to start at right tackle.
You can't see when I have clothes on.
Right. Well, there's not an even playing field. There's never been an even playing field. There never will be an even playing field.
But... What shampoo do you use on your hair?
You don't need to be Superman to play in this offense.
You're listening to The Red Zone.
Welcome, Badgers fans, to another episode of The Red Zone. I'm your host, Jason Galloway, with the Wisconsin State Journal. We are doing our mailbag edition today. We already did one episode of The Red Zone earlier this week, if you want to check that out. We talked to Ben Wargle of 247sports.com about the Minnesota game coming up, the Big Ten title game, the college football playoff race, all kinds of stuff. And we talked to Badger wide receiver A.J. Taylor, too, about his kind of trying to improve his issue with drops that he had last season and about how the team's focusing on Minnesota and not looking ahead to next week. But we're going to take your questions that that I already asked for on Twitter today, and we are going to answer them on the podcast, and let's get right into it. Let's see. Zach Heilprin, at Zach Heilprin, asks, what kind of prize does someone get if they publicly predicted on a highly successful podcast that the Badgers would go 12-0? Now, if you longtime listeners of The Red Zone know that Zach Heilprin is comes on our podcast a lot, and before the season we had him on, and he predicted the Badgers would go 12-0, and it's looking like he's going to be right unless they lay an egg on Saturday against Minnesota. And I think the most popular prediction was 11-1 this year, and I think that's what most people were doing. And even those that thought this team was going to be really good thought, there's going to be somewhere where this team slips up, and somewhere where the team either loses a game that they shouldn't or runs into a team that is on their level, and that just hasn't happened this year. And kudos to Zach for sticking his neck out there and predicting 12-0, and it looks like he's going to be right, and maybe we'll have to have him on the podcast next week to come gloat on the Red Zone. But as far as a prize goes, Zach, I don't know. I'll have to talk to the State Journal to see if we can get you some kind of prize for that. I don't know. I couldn't tell you what it is right now. Maybe I'll have to buy you a drink or something. Let's see. Badger of Honor, add Badger of Honor. This is another funny one. How is Badger football spending this bye week? That's pretty harsh on Minnesota right there. The thing about this game, I think a couple of these Minnesota games lately have been a little bit closer than maybe you would expect. I think in 2014 and 2016, it was, a top 15 Badgers team in both cases that they got behind early by two scores, and Wisconsin had to come from behind and win those games, and they ended up winning both of those pretty comfortably. But I do think that Minnesota's got a lot to play for in this game. They're trying to become bowl eligible. Obviously they're trying to break the streak. It's senior day for them too. I think Wisconsin's going to get Minnesota's best game, and how good is Minnesota's best game? I don't know. Maybe it's still not that good, but I don't know. Calling this a bye week is that's going a little bit too far in my mind. As far as this is not a game where Wisconsin, I don't think it's a game where Wisconsin can completely sleepwalk through it and come away with a win. I think Minnesota is going to play pretty well. I think PJ Fleck is going to get them fired up for a game like this, and I definitely think Wisconsin is going to win. I'm picking them to win by 21 points, but man, calling it a bye week, that's pretty funny though. Let's move on. Mookie at Mookie 33. How does Bucky move the ball against Ohio State? Run first per usual instead of the pass, or pass first to loosen the box? I think they're definitely going to do a run first approach. That's what this team is, and they're not going to get away from that just because they're playing Ohio State. They want to play the way they've been playing all year, and they want to establish that run game early and allow that to open up the passing game. And we even saw against Michigan, it took a while, and they really stuck with the run game and tried to get that going for a long time, even though it wasn't working. And finally in the third quarter, I think Paul Chris finally realized, we're going to need to hit some passing plays down the field to open up anything for us in the run game. And that's just the way we're going to have to approach it. But that took him 2.5 quarters before he conceded that point. And I think that ended up working out. And Hornibrook made a couple really big throws on that touchdown drive in the third quarter, the first one. And they were able to, and then Jonathan Taylor was able to find a little bit more room on the ground. But I definitely think they would rather have it the other way. I think they don't want to put that pressure on Hornibrook, first of all, to have to go out there and make the throws from the very start against a team like Ohio State. And I think if they're able to get the running game going early, it becomes a lot harder to stop this offense. And I think they're going to try to do that. You know, whether that works or not against Ohio State, we'll have to wait and see. I think at some point, Alex Hornibrook is going to have to make some big throws in order to win that game. But I definitely think they're going to try to establish the running game first. John Hermanson at John Hermanson asks, as you noted in your film room story, the O-line struggled against edge rush versus Michigan. How do you think they hold up against OSU? Now, yeah, we did talk about some, go over a little bit of the protection issues in our film room story this week that was posted on Tuesday on Madison.com if you guys want to go check that out. I'm not sure exactly, again, I haven't watched a ton of Ohio State yet. We're still in Minnesota week. I know everybody's excited about the Big Ten title game, and people are assuming Wisconsin's going to beat Minnesota, and we can look ahead to that, and you're probably right about that. I'll have to check out Ohio State's defense a little bit more next week and see how they compare to Michigan's. I don't think their front is quite as good as Michigan's, but I definitely think they'll probably be able to do some things that that make life difficult on Wisconsin's offensive line. Now, I definitely think that, I think the Michigan game was possibly a learning experience for that O-line, and I don't think they played that bad against Michigan. It wasn't a situation where they got completely dominated. I just think there were some matchups there. I think Maurice Hurst going up against John Dietzen was just not a matchup Dietzen was going to be able to win very often. And Ohio State's got good players up front too, and it's going to be a challenge. But, to say that Ohio State's going to be able to do what Michigan did, I'm not really sure about that. I'll have to look at Ohio State a little bit more next week and kind of see how they compare. But I think Wisconsin may be able to fare a little bit better in pass protection against the Buckeyes. Ben Patton at Benjamin P32 asks, survey if Badgers fans would trade a football national championship for all hoop streaks to end this season. I don't know about that one. I guess it's not really a question, right? I don't know if he was. I guess maybe I'll have to survey some fans to see that. I'd have to think that the Badgers fans would take a football national championship over anything else right now. That would be pretty remarkable if Wisconsin would was able to do that. And in basketball they came really close a couple times, got to the national title game, and weren't able to pull it off. But I think especially in football, Wisconsin hasn't quite been on the cusp like that in the way that the basketball team was. And to see this team not only make the playoffs, but if they were able to get to that national championship game, that would be something else. I think we all thought this team would be really good this season and have a chance to make the playoffs if everything broke their way. And it's looking like if they take care of Minnesota, they're going to be just one win away from doing that. But I think it is a different story. Once you get into those playoffs, to kind of get over that high and prepare for a team that's going to be really difficult to beat. If they're playing, we talked about it in earlier in this week's podcast with Ben Wargel, but if they're playing a team like Alabama and New Orleans, that's going to be a really difficult spot for Wisconsin. Not only playing a team like Alabama who has playoff experience and has all the talent that they have, but for Alabama fans would take over that the Superdome in New Orleans, and it would probably feel like a road game for Wisconsin. I know Wisconsin fans would definitely try to travel for that game, but I definitely think that's not a difficult trip at all for Alabama fans, and I think a game like that could be difficult. So a national championship I think is a little bit of a stretch, but I think this team's clearly they're right there on the cusp of making the playoffs, and once you get down to four teams, I suppose at that point anything can happen. Alex Seiss at Alex Seiss asks, what is your spread prediction for the Big Ten championship game? That's a really good question. I've been really curious since for a couple weeks now to I guess really since Ohio State lost to Iowa and it looked like they were still going to get in the game, of what is that point spread going to be when if Wisconsin and Ohio State end up facing each other. I'm sure there's been some early lines released. I haven't seen any, so I don't really know. Maybe you guys have already seen some projected lines, but I would think Ohio State is still going to be favored. I just think the point spreads and all that are all public perception, and I still think that the public, most of the public looks at this Buckeyes team and thinks that unless they're having one of their off days like they had against Oklahoma or Iowa that they're one of the most dominant teams in the country. And I do think Ohio State would probably be a slight favorite. I don't think it would be a ton. Maybe I'm wrong about that, but I think it would be maybe a 3-point. Maybe Ohio State would be favored by 3, something like that, 3.5 possibly. So that would be kind of my guess. I don't really know if that's going to be accurate, and if they don't have any early lines out right now, I'm sure we'll find out pretty soon. After Wisconsin plays Minnesota and Ohio State plays Michigan this weekend, and of course Ohio State's got to play Michigan. They're in the Big Ten title game already, but if that good Michigan defense is able to frustrate JT Barrett and Ohio State, and if Michigan pulls off an upset in that game, I think that definitely changes things. And Ohio State going in as a 3-loss team with no incentive to play for a playoff spot or anything like that, I think at that point I think Wisconsin would be favored. But as of right now, if they both take care of business this week, I'd say Ohio State probably a short favorite in that one. See, Todd Romance has got a couple questions for us at Todd Romance. He says, looking ahead at Indianapolis, like we all are this week, of course, OSU crushed a Michigan State defense that was ranked in the top 10 in the country, 38 points in the first half. What will the Badgers need to do to slow them down? Well, I think that's a good question. And the interesting thing about that is that I don't know if Wisconsin has necessarily played an offense quite like Ohio State's this season, an offense that's quite as balanced as theirs and quite as explosive. I'm trying to think, some of the best offenses that Wisconsin has faced this season, there's not a ton out there that you can look at and say that's an extremely dangerous offense that has a lot of explosive and talented, skill players. So I think that it's going to be really interesting to see kind of this defense that's played so well all season go up against Ohio State. And like we mentioned before, Ohio State, they've had a couple games this season where they've looked really bad, whether it's the Oklahoma game where they scored, I think it was just 3 points in the first half and ended up losing by 2 touchdowns, or the Iowa game where JT Barrett throws 4 interceptions. I don't think you can expect that kind of Ohio State team in a game like this. I think they're going to come out and play well. I think what Wisconsin's defense needs to do is they just need to do what they've been doing all season. I think they need to. I think it starts with stopping the run. I think if you're not able to stop the run against Ohio State, they can just keep pounding the ball and then use play action to get you through the air. And I think if you allow them to be balanced like that, and you allow them to hurt you on the ground early in the game, they can really start to pick you apart. And I also think they have to get pressure on Barrett. I think that might be the key, honestly, is just when he does drop back to pass, and Wisconsin's been really good at getting pressure on the quarterback this season, maybe even more so than they did last season. And I think when you look at this matchup with Ohio State, if they let Barrett stand back there in the pocket and not get much pressure on him, then I think that makes it a lot more difficult to stop this offense too. And if they're able to get pressure, especially with 4-man rushes like they have been a lot this season, and obviously that's easier said than done against a team like Ohio State, that's a little bit more difficult to do, against a team like the Buckeyes than say some of the other teams they face this season. But if they're able to do that, drop 7 in coverage and still get pressure on Barrett with 4, and don't let him escape the pocket either. We saw last year and then the overtime loss to Ohio State at Camp Randall, Barrett's ability to get out of the pocket and make plays with his feet in the fourth quarter was a big difference in that game. So to apply pressure with 4 guys and to not let Barrett get out of the pocket, it's a difficult task. But I think if Wisconsin's gonna kind of shut down that offense, that's one of the keys to doing so. Todd Romance has got one more question. Badgers getting healthy at the perfect time. Are Laudermilk and Rand 100%? And is Chris James now 5th on the depth chart? As far as Laudermilk goes, I don't necessarily think Rand is 100%. I haven't really talked to him, but it seems like that foot issue has been bothering him the entire season. And from people I've talked to, or not the entire season, but for a number of weeks. And, we'll have to kind of – he's not playing a huge role right now. Obviously, he's the number 2 nose tackle, and he's coming in certain situations. But I think he's going to – I think he'll probably get that taken care of after the season. And I think he's definitely a – I think he's a candidate to start at defensive end next year with everything they're losing on the defensive line. I think they may switch him back to end, and he could be a big player next year. But I don't know if he's going to be quite 100% the rest of the season. But he's also not playing a huge role, so I don't know if that's going to hurt them too badly. Laudermilk, I think they're still kind of working him in. You know, they haven't had a whole lot of games this year where Alec James, Connor Sheehy, Chikwe Obashi, and Isaiah Laudermilk have all been healthy. You know, Obashi got injured in that, you know, after the first game, and then he just recently got back, and Laudermilk is just getting back into it too. So it's hard to know how many snaps that they would play Laudermilk when everybody's healthy like they are now. You know, he is the fourth guy, and he has been making plays this season, but I also think that, you know there's kind of a lot of there's only so many snaps to go around between for four defensive ends, and I don't think he's not quite 100% yet. I haven't gotten an opportunity to talk to him either. We're kind of limited on how many guys we can talk to each week. We only get three defensive players each week, so I haven't had a chance to talk to him yet and ask him if he's feeling 100% or kind of where he's at. But I, you know, he's not playing a ton of snaps right now, and I think he'll probably see a little bit of an increase over the next couple of weeks if he's able to feel a little better. And then about Chris James being fifth on the depth chart, it certainly appears that way, doesn't it? I mean, you know, I think, you know, obviously the early down work is going to Jonathan Taylor and Bradrick Shaw. And then I think third down work, you know, we've seen Rashid Ibrahim in there more than anybody the past couple of weeks, and Garrett Groshek got time in that role last game as well, and Chris James was nowhere to be seen, and maybe he's not quite 100% yet either, but he has played, you know, the last couple games late on, or maybe not against Michigan, but the week before against Iowa, he got a little bit of time late in the game, and maybe they're still trying to work him in slowly, but I also think that he is kind of falling down the depth chart a little bit. I think they like what Ibrahim has given them, especially in pass protection, and Groshek and his ability to not only run the ball, but do some good things in the passing game as well. I think James is falling down there a little bit. As far as a number where he is, I'm not really sure I could tell you he's exactly the fifth guy or whatever, but it certainly appears like those other guys are ahead of him right now. This is the last one for the week from Bronny MVP 321 at NT Cunning 3. He asks, do you expect Leonard to get better offers starting this offseason? Whether more money as a D coordinator or as a head coach, would he leave for a lateral move with more money? That's a good question. I've gotten that question from a couple people lately. I think people will definitely go after him. He's a Broyles Award semifinalist, one of 15 to be named a semifinalist for that award. He's clearly getting a lot of attention as one of the better defensive coordinators in the country this year. You know, he is still very inexperienced, and he is a young guy, and he is a Wisconsin grad. So I think that buys you a little bit of time if you're Wisconsin. I definitely think that Wisconsin will be giving him a raise this offseason. I would have to imagine. I think some teams are going to go after him, and I think Wisconsin is going to reward him with a raise. I would have to imagine with what he's been able to do with this defense. Now, I think he probably has a desire to at some point be a head coach. I haven't really talked to him about that, but I think at some point he'll probably try to, you know, further his career, whether it's a head coach or in the NFL or what have you, whatever it is. I do think he's probably going to stick around for a little bit though. You know, I think that, and maybe I'm wrong about that. Maybe he just wants to go ahead and be a head coach as soon as possible. But you know, he is still a really young guy. He's still in his mid-30s. He's still inexperienced, and he has a really good situation here at Wisconsin that I think he can do well with the next few years as well. And I don't think he'll be in a huge rush to get out of here and leave the Badgers. And I think he really likes this place and feels like it's home here. So I do think Wisconsin has a probably a couple more years with him at least. Even if he continues to do really well, and I'm sure they'll reward him with a raise this season. I do think people will come after him, though, and if he gets the right opportunity, who knows? We'll have to wait and see on that one, but I do think, considering his situation, he will probably stick around for at least a couple more years. That's going to do it for this week. I really appreciate you guys sending those questions. I hope you like the podcast. You can subscribe to it on iTunes and on Google Play, and you can also view it on Madison.com if you're doing that as well. Join me for a Twitter live chat on Saturday after the game against Minnesota, and keep visiting Madison.com for all of our Badgers football coverage. Thanks for listening.